Kamala Harris, Giff knew her in high school. He knew her. I don't know if he knew her in the biblical sense, but he knew her, and I believe it. I'll just leave it at that. I may have gotten some intel on Kamala Harris and the reality of like these bar association district attorneys like fucking everybody at every turn, even old friends, you know, like these DA like bar bunnies, like with their huge egos, like climbing the ladder of like the bar association with their fake legal strategies and like robbing people for the kangaroo courts and falsely imprisoning people, whatever, falsely or rightfully imprisoning people due to like laws and other things. You know, they'll turn their back even on an old friend who might have known them biblically. I don't know if he knew her biblically. I hope he didn't, but if he did, whatever. Camel toe. What? Anyways, let me think here. Where am I going with this? So, fight world politics and jail fights. So, I'd been in the fight with the police and the Axon tasers, and it was scary fucking shit. Like, you can watch it on the site. Nobody wants to see like real like jailhouse confrontations with law enforcement, because it's too much for mainstream America. They can't handle like hard-boiled humor. But I broke like a leg. You can believe it or not, you know, you can slander me, he's just a Jew, he can't fight. But I busted a dude's leg when I was double cuffed by like jumping up and sitting on it. like intellectual property, cyber assets are like, it's not so easy to like take someone out who has assets as people pretend, you know, like how much money you have behind you. Even if it's hidden, even if you look like a homeless person and you own like some domain names and trademarks, like it might help you. I'm not saying it will, but it might. And you might want to like purchase my services if you're into that type of thing, like getting these sort of assets that could potentially like cover your ass in heavy combat. So Gift and I were talking. We were talking about like my fight, and he was telling me things, and I didn't know if it was true, the things he was telling me. Like, he was like, yeah, so and so told me a police officer told me like, man, your buddy that you talked to, man, they really like violated his rights. Like, that was some scandalous shit. and so he. I don't know who he talked to. I could not see him in his cell. I know that they would like come by every day, and that you can talk on the intercoms, and he might have known people up in the booths. Like, he might have known some of the black chicks working up in those, like, you know, panoptical, like, tinted, tinted surveillance centers. I have no idea. I honestly didn't know, like, what he was telling me, like, how much of it was true or not, but... So he was telling me things, and you can't even talk on the phones there because they're all legally wiretapped, you know, client attorney privilege and privacy and for in jail communications. Forget about it. Mandatory opt-in for wiretapping of quote unquote client attorney phone conversations. Status quo in America with a K. Let's see here. I'm just going to get right to the juicy stuff. I know like fight world people love like stories and like seeing people get their ass kicked. Like when, when Masvidal like kneed Funky like in the face in like 3 seconds, like when Funky tries to like post on Twitter, they're just going to like loop like the gif of like him getting knocked out and like clowning on him. Yeah, Funky. I like the name War Machine better than Funky. Like it's kind of cool to wear like a purple wig and like rock up into the ring, but I would go for something different, you know. I'd have like a wolf mask and like Tech Killer music playing. I'm going to post the Tech Killer music on my webpage. You can hear some good indie music. From Russia. There's like one or two good musicians in Russia. One or two, at most, probably. I don't know the underground Russian music scene. Like, what's it called? Deep world music. So yeah, let me think. So I'm going to jump right to this part, because there were other fights. You know, a vampire kicked my ass big time when I was like going through this stuff, and the Bar Association, there were like teams of lawyers angling in to like wipe me out and take out my intellectual property assets and roll out to Mars with Elon Musk. I that's what they're in on, you know. If you think your bar lawyer like represents you, you're a dupe, man. I'm not saying all lawyers are bad. Honestly, I don't even know. There's like some cool stuff in like legal tradition, like mandamus, the nuclear torpedo mandamus, which is a whole nother like legal combat story, like heavy stuff. But let me see here. So yeah, they were setting me up to like get raped. Okay. I think so anyway. I mean, is it just coincidence that like the biggest black guy in like the whole place that you've ever seen was like held 60 days without his PC 851.5 rights and like put in a cell next to you? Coincidence? Conspiracy theory? You be the judge. So dude was like, he was probably like, I'm guessing like 6'3", maybe 6'5", probably 265 pounds. He was black. And I think he was a crack dealer. I think he had like 15 bodies. I think he dropped like 15 bodies in like the Oakland crack world. Let's just say he wasn't the quietest person, okay? Like, it was the cell next to me, and he would... I don't even remember what he was saying, like, all effing night. All night, every night. Maybe not all night, but at least, like, 4 hours per night. It was, like, non-stop yelling. And when you want to get somebody, like, in the cell next to you to shut up, you have to, like, bang on the wall... or like try to yell at them through like these little like perforated like openings in the jail cells. And he would come over, he would like demand my commissary, you know, like when he was out, you know, he would be like cuz I would leave, I had my people that I was like talking with and like, you know, like trading commissary and stuff and like with Cece and, you know, like Pop-Tarts and stuff. There's no good food in the jail. Okay. This is not like, it's not like progressive, healthy food in places like Santa Rita. Okay. It's like, genetically cloned beans that taste like ass and rice that tastes like ass. And who knows what they do to the food. Okay. Like it's steamed cooked. Okay. They heat that shit at like 500 degrees, you know, to like supposedly kill off all the things that could be crawling around in there. But it's not very progressive. Let's put it that way. They're going for maximum profit margins on everything, you know, from like $4 per second to make an outgoing phone call. Sorry, not per minute, whatever, to make an outgoing phone call to like $2 for a little bag of Doritos, right? Wholesome food off of commissary, good luck. Closest thing you can get is like tuna fish, probably. You know, maybe some like granola bars. So yeah, this black dude, you know, he was in the cell next to me and he was massive and he was really, really scary. Okay. Like, you didn't want to mix it up with this guy, trust me. It's not like a UFC fight, I don't think, you know? It's not like Queensberry rules of boxing in those sort of situations. But he was also a Martha Stewart, believe it or not. This guy was an aspiring chef. I'm not kidding you. Truth really is stranger than fiction. This hardcore crack dealer from Oakland was an aspiring chef. So when the guards would walk around, they would stop in front of his cell and he would tell them his recipes for chicken. Okay? Like telling like how much you have to get and what quantity and how long you have to cook it for and what the best topping is for it and the best, like, you know, like the best, what's the word I'm looking for? The best basting stuff on for the chicken and, you know, what barbecue sauce. And he would talk on and on and on, literally like hours. Like, put it this way. If he could, he would tell you his recipe forever. And if you stopped listening, he would kill you. Okay, that's essentially what it, maybe not quite that extreme, but you get the picture. Like, he wanted credit for his innovations in cooking. And they would listen because even the guards were scared of this guy. Like when someone like that is like talking to you and like demanding that you listen, it's hard to walk off. Okay? Like, how do I explain this? Even if he's on the other side of like a locked door with like hydraulic locks and there's just like a little slot opening and he's like talking and he's talking and he's talking and he's talking and he's talking. And I could tell the jail guard was just like nodding his head and going, yeah, yeah, it sounds great, guy. The guard wanted to like leave, but he couldn't. When a guy like that talks to you, you listen and try to politely like move off when you get the chance. And hold on a sec. I got to pause this. So yeah, I don't want to get like too illicit about like race relations, but that guy had a thing for white women and every woman, like black women too, you know, like every female that walked by was like a potential mate. And you know, he wanted to make it happen somehow, like in that situation. He hadn't given up on life and like having kids. I don't know if he had kids or not. He probably has like a few kids and, you know, whatever. Illegitimate kids. That's America, you know. That's, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to comment about like black dudes with illegitimate kids and like dealing with like Western society. I'm not going to comment. But so he had a thing for the women and he had a clean bill of health. He assured them every time, well, I got a clean bill of health. You know, despite the fact that they might have been giving him like daily like pill remedies for like, you know, gonorrhea or something. I don't know. I don't want to slander the guy. Like, I'm still scared of him. You know, I don't know if he had anything or didn't. Am I scared of that guy? Put it this way. When you meet people in jail and you're talking, there is still the streets. Like, meaning shit can still happen like a decade later when you get out. Okay. Don't let me catch you in the streets. You know, like it's a real thing in those places, you know, like those things, they can be permanent. They can be 10 years, they can be 20 years, or they can be like temporary, like 5 months. Right. So, I don't know if that guy really had a clean bill of health or not. I got my suspicions, but so anyway, yeah, he was like talking and he was, you know, he wanted my commissary and I was like, it was difficult, but I was like, you know, I was like, get fucked. I didn't say get fucked, but I was like, no, we're not, you know, I'm only giving my commissary to dudes who are like who I'm collaborating with. Like, that's economics and health, like managing your health and economics and food supply. And you get hungry in places like that, you know, like, that whole thing about like fasting in jail and like, you know, using it as a growing experience, like that food goes down, like you eat it, but it's filling, but it isn't like you get hungry when that little sandwich comes around, like you grab it and snatch it up and whatever it is, you just put the mustard or the right decision peanut butter on it and you eat it. Or you eat those little rotten apples or those little carrot sticks, those little baby carrots in a packet. So yeah, I think they were going to like let that guy get at me. Like I was scared, but I wasn't. It was a mix. Like on the one hand, I was scared. You know, like some of the white dudes, even the smaller guys, would like get up the courage to like tell him like fuck you, like at his cell, you know. But they still had to like keep it down. They had to be very strategic about like, you know, telling him how they really felt, you know, about his threats, like, cause it's a locked door and those things are like heavy iron doors, but like, man, you just don't know. So, cause anything can happen. The real stakes in like litigation and dealing with the Bar Association and the kangaroo courts, ass rape, not just ass rape, but like a dude like that, ramming his thumb into your eye socket, breaking your neck, and then trying to get as many pumps in your ass as he can before the police run in and break it up and do the little autopsy report. And that's reality. And you know, the honest truth is, I've been held without my PC 851.5 rights, and I've been jerked around by these assholes, you know, claiming to uphold the law. And if somebody held me 60 days without my PC 851.5 rights and just dissed me like that, I would want to get my hands on somebody too and like, just like, you know, make my, you know, whatever, you know, at all costs. At all costs. He was an animal. He was an animal of some kind. You know, I'm an animal too. I don't mind being called an animal. You know, a human and an animal, some sort of combo. But, where am I going with this? So yeah, that whole thing was being set up and I think Gift might've seen it coming and like told somebody on the outside, like, yo, they're lining this up on him. Like say something, make some like publicity and do the little hand gesture on that. Like this guy might still like be useful to us. Because Gift and I were friends, like we're, you can have friends in jail, but you can't, you know, cause it's just business interests. So like, I trusted him. I trusted his intelligence and I thought he was a pretty genuine guy compared to like other people I've met in life. But he has business interests too to worry about. He wanted to channel like everything he could into, business enterprises that do not incur legal liability. So I was giving him like ideas like every day and he's like, yeah, I'm definitely into this. This looks good. This looks, and I'm going to name Gift as a co-creator of Pneumatics, AIOS weapon systems, which are superior to Glocks and those geeked out Axon tasers. That's all for this audio. I got to keep this under a file size limit. Stay tuned.